Welcome to HISD Unscripted, the official Hereford ISD podcast where we bring you real stories and conversations straight from the heart of our district. I'm Kara Esquivel, and I'm here with
Danielle Bartles, Chief Financial Officer.
Ralph Carter, Superintendent.
Adam Pena, the Media and Communications Coordinator.
And today, we're going to be diving into a question that we received at the end of our last Vader episode. So let's get into it.
Okay, so the question is, if this doesn't go through, it will negatively affect our district in regards to funds the district is in need of, correct? I'd love the transparency in regards to the problems the district is facing. What are the problems we are unaware of y'all see but parents don't?
So when we first saw this question, a whole bunch of topics came to mind that we could talk about. Things like staff retention, our facilities, additional learning programs, and much more. However, when I was talking to Dr. Carter about it, he brought up unfunded mandates, which was something that I did not even realize was a big issue for our district. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So just my first question, what are unfunded mandates and how do they affect our district?
That's where TEA comes in and says, here's what you're going to do, but they don't give you the money to do it. So you have to take it out of your general fund.
So what are some unfunded mandates that we are already seeing that have affected us so far?
Special ed has a lot of more requirements that they have to do, but there's no more funding provided to it.
So I saw actually in an article when I was doing a little bit of research on this topic that it was some school district down south that they, with their special ed program, it was going to cost them $98 million to do what they needed to do. And it was a larger district. And then they only had just a small portion of that. So they were left with a deficit of $58 million that they were going to have to cover just for the special ed mandate that was required. So that really puts that into perspective a little bit.
Well, part of that's because they've added 504 and dyslexia under the special ed umbrella. And the other day, we were talking to our special ed director, and she has about $600,000 worth of needed staff to bring our special ed department up to where it needs to be. And the question becomes, where do we get that money? How do we fund those positions that would help our children? So that is a perfect example of unfunded mandates. Another one would be the STAR test. You know, you stop and think about all the things that have to be done in reference to the STAR test, and one of the big ones is now that it's required to be an online program. You have to take it online. Well, the state's not giving us any extra money to buy Chromebooks to do online or to raise our bandwidth or to do any of those kinds of things that would increase, the ability for us to do that. We're doing it, but again, it comes out of the general fund. So testing would be huge.
Another note on the STAR testing, they require now students have, if they didn't pass the STAR test, they have to have so many hours of tutoring, but there's no funding for that extra tutoring that's required to have for the students that didn't pass.
Or even places in the master schedule to put them in. And a lot of times it's before school, after school, if we can get kids to stay for it. So again, another unfunded part of the mandate.
So now not only are we needing money, we're needing additional staff that can stay additional hours and additional spaces to hold our students for those hours. So, yeah, that's definitely a big one. So based on our budget, like how much are these unfunded mandates just really straining us each year?
We try not to affect the programs that are happening, but where we're not able to fund, it comes out of the department budgets, I think. So what we need in facilities may have to wait because we need to provide programs for the students.
Which is huge because, look at where we are. This district, I don't know how long, has been talking about a new high school. Well, that gets put back on the back burner because you have to supply what you need for kids to be successful in the classroom. The same thing with, any of the other $220 million worth of improvements that are supposed to be made to our buildings, our 9 or 10 buildings that we have in the district, those things get put back on hold because we have to service our kids first. That's what we're here for.
So kind of backtracking a little bit on that, these unfunded mandates, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about them. These are things that we have to implement each year, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, so whenever it comes to things like what you were just saying about our facilities, about a new high school, things like that, like we don't have wiggle room to, you know, bring in some of that. We have to focus on these mandates first before we, you know, can do anything else, like you said. So another thing that I saw too was our safety and security. That's a new one, I think, that has come up within the last couple years, and that has caused actually a lot of funding for just everything that's been required. So do you want to talk a little bit about what kind of things that they're asking of us and what we're doing to help satisfy them and what we're still missing?
Well, I think what they want is they want a licensed police officer at every campus, which means we would have to have 9, counting central office. And although there may be some wiggle room on that one because we don't have a lot of kids here all the time, but there are kids in and out of our building daily. So we have the Guardian program. The safety allotment right now is what, $10,000 a campus, or is it 15?
It's 15,000.
So $15,000 a campus, which is 15 times 8, doesn't even fund one police officer, you know, when you get right down to it. And so we go through the Guardian program. They came back in 2018, 2019, 2020, especially after Uvalde, and said we need to harden our buildings. They gave us a certain allotment for that, but it didn't cover everything we needed it to cover. They wanted ballistic film put on all the outside windows and doorways. They wanted foyers put in. They wanted scan card technology on each door. You know, so those are things that end up coming out of the general budget if you can't get it out of the safety grants and the things that they give us. And so it's a huge deficit every year, and we do what we can do. But again, kids need to come first, and safety needs to be first.
Which, so, I believe that our district has done a good job on our safety, and, you know, kudos to our safety director, Brian Hedrick, on that. But like you said, a lot of these things are requiring us to have a lot of money additional put towards these things, and if we don't have it, what are we doing to help cover it?
We're filling the gaps.
Yeah, we can. Yes. And back to the safety and security, if we hadn't passed the bond and focused on the 4 years and anything, we wouldn't be where we are today, because we don't have the funds to do those major improvements that are required by the state for them to be safety and security. So we were above the market planning before Uvalde, anything. So that helped, but it's still, there's lots of requirements that the state puts on us to fulfill that the money's not there, or the restrictions make it hard for us to fulfill the requirements.
Well, and I know $15,000 a campus won't even put the ballistic film on.
No.
Because the ballistic film is very, very expensive. Won't even fund a guardian. You know, $15,000 doesn't even fund the necessities for a guardian. So although they're talking about raising that to $35,000, which will help, but again, how many other safety things are they going to require us to do that we haven't already done, or that are going to add to the budget because we have to do those things?
Well, it seems like every year they add more and more to that as far as safety and security goes. I feel like in conversations that I've had with Brian, it's this year they want this. Next year they've added something else that we've got to add to. So numbers dollar signs just keeps going up.
Yes, it does.
And the budget kind of stays pretty much the same.
Yep. That's correct.
Yeah. That's correct. And, you know, you just stop and think about all the things that go along with that and what you want to do to make kids feel safe. You know, that becomes a priority because kids don't learn well that don't feel safe. And so we know it's a priority and we know we have to do it.
Going back to that a little bit, what are some trade-offs that we're having to make? I know we talked about not being able to upgrade any facilities, but are there any programs that are at risk of being cut if we don't get additional funding soon?
I think those things are always at risk and always evaluated every year when you sit down to start looking at the budget, whether you're talking about the federal dollars that are being used or you're talking about the general fund dollars that are used. Those are things that we look at all the time. Interestingly, Blue Bonnet curriculum is coming out by the state, state-required new curriculum. We can, as a district, can opt out of that, but we also opt out of a lot of funding. They tie it to funding, and so they force you to buy the material, and then they tie it to more funding. So if we decide to stay with the Amplify and Eureka like we've always done, we're going to lose money. But again, does that cover everything that we need just on that Blue Bonnet curriculum? And we're going to find out the answer is no. I mean, the other thing you begin to look at is how big do we have to make classes in order to be successful? You know, we got the 22-to-1 requirement, but after that, we can put 30 kids in a classroom. And there are districts all around us that have 30 and 35 kids in high school classrooms. Fortunately, we're not at that point yet, but when the budget gets crunched, those are things that you have to look at. How can we successfully teach our kids when we all know that that's way too many kids in a classroom, no matter how good a teacher may be, how engaging the lesson might be, it's still too many kids in a classroom.
So are all of these topics that we've talked about today something that the Vader will help kind of just lessen the load on?
Absolutely would lessen the load. It would help us tremendously, and we've talked about that before. 3 cents is around $1.9 million, the 3 golden pennies and the rest of the 9 copper pennies that we can get. When you put them together, it's about $4.2 million a year. We'll add that back into our budget, and it would be a tremendous help. And like we talked about last week or last time, if we could get kids to come to school 97-98% of the time, we could also increase our funding on that, which would also help.
I think just anywhere we could get some additional funds to help just not be so crunched every month or every year is a great, it's just a great thing. Whether it's attendance, whether it's Vader or both would be great. I bet Danielle would appreciate that.
A little, yes. Trying to figure out budgets is always hard.
It's very hard.
The unknowns that legislation has now, every time they're in session, you can only plan with what you know, and then at the end of August, they should be done. So you have to make, if you have to make changes, you have to make it quick because the budget has to be approved before August 31st.
Well, I think it's good to say something positive about the community. You know this as well, Danielle. Every week we get donations for different things,
yes,
for different programs that help us make ends meet and also help kids. And so we appreciate all the businesses and all of the personal checks that we receive on a weekly basis that help out our district. But again, even all of that leaves us with a shortfall.
Yeah, I agree with that. Our community does a great job at helping step up and cover some of these volatile programs that might not get funded elsewhere. And so just thank you to everyone that just constantly donates to our school district and constantly is helping our kiddos, you know, just go above and beyond for what they need and things like that. We'll definitely have some more topics of conversation about this because it looks like we've only scratched the surface today. But for the sake of time, thank you for joining us for today's episode. Thank y'all for being here. And you can find us anywhere you get your podcast or watch us on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you.